Kia ora, welcome back to the show. Hope you're well, hope you're merry, hope you're full of romance today.
Oh yeah, happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, happy Valentine's Day. Are you feeling romanced today?
Yeah, sure. I've woken up, you're the first person I've spoken to.
What an honour. Yeah, I'm
full of romance right now.
Right, well, to everyone listening, Josh from Scorpio Books is here this morning. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Josh. That's me.
Hello. How are you? Are you
I'm
well?
Good. I'm well. I'm really enjoying having some colder weather. I was melting last week with the heat.
Yeah,
33 is like an uncomfortable temperature for any sane human being.
Oh, it's stupid.
So this is very nice. But yeah, no, I'm doing good.
Cool.
Doing good.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's great. How's Scorpio Books?
Scorpio's great, doing wonderful. Cool. We've opened up a new store, if people don't know. So now we've got Scorpio.
We've got
Scorpio main store, which is in the same spot in the BNZ. Obviously our wonderful children's bookstore Telling Tales, which is just across the courtyard. And now also, it's a little corner thing. You can see it right from Scorpio.
Right.
We have Scorpio Books next door, which is all of our travel books and Lonely Planet guides. And it's great. Got to talk to heaps of tourists and, you know, people traveling through, trying to see all the sights and sounds. So,
Has it inspired you to travel?
I would love to travel, but not particularly.
Right, okay.
I like travel, but I'm terrible at organizing anything. So
yeah,
it's one of those, like, totally. Someone else will be like, we're thinking of doing this. And then I'm like, okay, now I have like some, you know,
you
framework.
Need else to
Now I can figure it out. Yeah.
Right. Anyway, I'm booked today.
Yes.
Enlighten me.
Well, I'm here to talk about Babel or Babel. People say it differently. I always pronounced it Babel. Then my coworker started saying
How's
Babel.
How's it spelled?
B-A-B-E-L, like the Tower of Babel. So I guess it is Babel, right?
I would assume so.
Okay, let's go with Babel. We're going to stick with Babel. It's by R.F. King. It is a wonderful, I'm going to say speculative fiction, the way I describe it.
It's
more in the fantasy realm because it deals with magic, but it's set in real world 1850s Oxford, England.
Right, okay.
So the pitch of the book is, it's, as I said, I think 1830s, 1850s Oxford, England. Mm-hmm. And the world is fairly similar to how we know it was at that time, with the addition of silver working, which is the magical element of this book.
Okay.
So the way silver works in this book is silver itself is like a magically imbued thing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and the only way to get the magic out of it is you transcribe a word on one end of a silver bar, and that word could be in English or whatever language, and then on the other end of that, you translate that word into a different language. So if you've written it in English, you're going to write it in something else, or if you've written it in something else, you could write it. Yeah. Anyway, two different languages on each side. And you know when you translate a word, there's always something lost in that translation?
Yes, yeah.
Certain connotations that come with one language's version of the word that don't come with another. So those connotations are what get trapped in the silver bar and then expressed. So if I'm trying to think. An example in the book, which is kind of a simple one, on one side it had invisible in English, and on the other side it had the Chinese character for invisible, which roughly translates to like waxing or something like that. And the kind of lost in translation is this form of like ethereality in the shadows, unseen, all of these kind of things.
Okay.
So when you hold that bar and you say the English word and the Chinese word, that magic comes out of the bar and you become shadowy and ethereal and invisible. And so as you can imagine, they find lots of other very creative uses for that tool.
Yeah, that's a very original concept.
It is. The magic was definitely a big hook for me. I'm someone who really likes a good magic system.
Yeah.
So that was a big like, oh, that's a really interesting way to do magic. That was kind of what got me into it.
Yeah,
But as the book goes on, it kind of uses that base as a kind of stepping stool to make a very well done, very interesting critique and commentary on British imperialism and racism in that time. Because another thing about this magic is it's not enough to just say the word. You have to actually fully understand what that word means, which means you have to be a fluent speaker in both the languages of the bar.
Okay, yeah.
So for England at the time, they obviously mostly speak English. Yes. So they have to get people from around the world that don't speak English. The way they do that is they go to their colonies. So there's some Indians, there's some Chinese people who they don't have a colony from, but they're kind of trying to deal with the opium trade at the time. So the main character we follow is Robin Swift, who's a, that's his English name. He's Chinese at birth, was raised in Canton until his parents died when he was very young. This is in like the first chapter of the book. I'm not spoiling anything. Yeah. And then he gets whisked away by a rich aristocratic white Englishman who has actually been like kind of secretly paying for this nanny that he had so that when he was raised, he was speaking English and Mandarin fluently.
So, like, this rich aristocratic man really wanted him to be magic.
Yes, so anyone can be magic. It's the silver that's magic. Yeah. You just have to speak the language. So that's a thing that the British Empire has been doing. They've been using their colonies not just for resources, but also for the resource of people. So they've been picking certain people out, making sure that they have an English upbringing so they can speak both English and their native language, then bringing them over to Oxford at a certain age so that they can join the Institute of Babel and become a translator for the British Empire. Yeah, so that's kind of, as you can imagine, leads to a lot of racial undertones in the book, which is definitely what it mainly focuses on is, you know, it's looking at the British Empire at the time, which was obviously already doing atrocious and terrible things. And now on top of all of that, they're also stealing language, right? Like the British Empire is the only empire that really reaps the benefit of these silver bars, right? Their trains run smoother, their carriages run easier, their carriages can lift more cargo because they have silver bars to do that. All of their streets are well lit, everything's clean, everything smells nice, everything's great in the UK because they have all this money and all this silver and all of these languages, but that wealth and those resources aren't going back to China and to India and to the places these languages originally come from. And yeah, it was just beautifully well done. I mean, it's a, in a way, it's a book about words, which can sometimes come across as kind of a bit meta and kind of like, okay, I get it. I'm reading a book about words. Cool. Yeah. But it's really not done like that. It's done very well. And you can tell that the author has a deep love and understanding for language and for the way that words fit together and for like the lineage of words where they come from. So these people also learn like Latin and Greek because that's the origins of a lot of a lot of languages. And yeah, at first I was like, is this gonna feel like I'm just being like hit over the hammer with like, look how smart I am, right?
Yeah, which
sometimes
it does
these books
sound quite highbrow.
Yeah, and I agree, and I'm not someone who usually reads particularly highbrow stuff. I do find it very much like I'm just being shoved against a wall of like, this is clever, and I'm like, okay, I get but this is done in a way where it's the actual story of Robin Swift and his friends is what's driving this narrative, right? It's got interludes into language, and sometimes they talk at length with their college buddies about language and interesting things about words, but it doesn't feel like, you know, oh, I'm just trying to show you how cool I am, and the story's kind of in there. It's like the story is a really driving force for this book. It's very fast-paced, but it doesn't feel like we're missing anything. It goes through, you know, multiple years of college. It you know, so it spans quite probably at least like, in terms of actually really learning about what's happening at the time, like 5 or 6 years with a couple of flashbacks to before. And yeah, but it's done at a fast enough pace that you never feel kind of bogged down by anything. All the characters are very lively, I think would be the way I would put it. They're all very interesting in their own ways, but without feeling one-dimensional, you know? Like, it's not like, oh, that's the Chinese guy who likes this kind of stuff, and that's the white girl, and oh, she doesn't get anything. It's like, there's attributes in there of those, you know, obviously the white people in the book are aren't portrayed as the heroes most of the time, which understandable given the context.
Yeah.
But they also don't feel like caricaturely evil, like racist people.
Okay,
you know?
Interesting.
Even some of them who are very like despicably racist are still like nuanced enough that it's not just like, I don't even want to read about this person because they're just mean.
Right.
You know?
Wow.
They have enough kind of depth to them that they're still like, you want to see their downfall, but you want to know why it's happening at the same time.
Yeah, of course.
Right. And yeah, I mean, whether you're the magic system is appealing to you, that's what got it into me for me, or if you kind of have any interest in like colonial racism and the British Empire, then for both of those reasons, you should read this book.
Okay,
It's very well written. It's also got that dark academia vibe, which people are really, really been loving these last couple of years, you know, like it's, you get to learn about people studying at college and along with that comes like, oh, my tests are coming up and that's so stressful, you know, and it's like, I've been out of uni for a few years now, but I still had that like familiar, you know, that feeling of like, I don't want to have an essay.
But
at the same time, there's kind of a weird camaraderie when you're all like, oh my gosh, we've all got this thing due. And
yeah, I get that.
You know, there's like a sense of trauma bonding almost, when, you know?
Yeah, like when you're procrastinating and putting it off to the last minute, but you know, so we're three other people.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly.
Very,
and you're like, I'm in it.
Feeling.
And then you have that moment, you're like, okay, it's 2 days before I actually need to do this now. And then you just get in like a 5 hour flurry of writing, you know? And it's like, I'm not saying.
There's nothing like that.
There's nothing like it. Yeah. I don't want the pressure to come back, but part of me is a little bit like, I wrote like a lot pretty quickly in some of those years, you know?
Like, looking back on it, I was like, God, I wrote some good stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
not saying it was all good.
No.
Some of it just out of the blue.
I wrote some real dribble, but like I looked through a few of them, and I'm like, couple of bangers in there for sure. I'm like, wow, I really understood this philosophical. New me can barely understand it, but old me definitely did. So it's got elements of that too as they go through their college life.
Right,
it's got found friendship and family. You know, Robin comes to this place not really knowing anyone and ends up with a group of friends who feel similar to him that also, you know, have been shipped over from various places overseas to join this Babel Institute. It's also got, I mean, the main message in a way, which I think is a really interesting one for the current time, even though this is set so long ago, is kind of existing inside of a system that on the one hand is giving you everything that you have ever wanted and needed, right?
Yeah,
like these
yeah.
people are scholars, they love language, and they're in the greatest place in the world to study there.
Of course.
But at the same time, that system is what's like squashing their country under the boot of imperialism, you know? And with the times we're in now where, on the one hand, you know, I feel like people are starting to become aware of like how, you know, certain systems, be it the economic system we all live under that starts with a C or various political things. On the one hand, we all engage in them. We're all aware of them. You know, like I buy consumer goods. I love Oreos and, you know,
totally.
We all love those things. But at the same time, I feel like we are aware that it's that same thing that's kind of ruining our like culture in a way,
know?
And this book really, I think, nails that point very effectively and very smartly, you know, like these people aren't just kind of immediately like, oh, well, it's bad and so I hate it now. It's like they're having this emotional turmoil of like, I don't want to not be at Babel. It's the greatest place in the world.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they don't actually care or respect about me because I'm not white, you know? So it's a very well done kind of commentary on those things, but again, it's not done in a way that you feel like you're getting your like head bashed in with a brick or something, you know. It's done the stories first, and that message just naturally and wonderfully fits into the story that you're reading. I never felt like, oh, it's a bit heavy right now, you know. It was like, I want to know what's happening, these characters are interesting, and it's just great. I loved everything about it. It's one of my favorite books I've read in the last few months, and it's Babel, R.F. King. I know we definitely have copies of it in the store at the moment. I sold it to someone yesterday who was very excited about it, so you should definitely check it out. And Arcane History is the tagline,
right?
Just
okay.
if you wanted to know,
yeah,
people like to know those things.
What's that term people use all the time these days about capitalism?
Late stage capitalism.
Yeah, I'm getting those vibes.
And there's been there has been some, like, comments I've seen about the book that have kind of still liked it, but had a problem with the way, like, a lot of the characters talk like the way we talk, right? They don't talk like 1830s Oxford scholars. Sometimes. Right, not all of them. Okay. But some of them, when they're talking about, like, racism and stuff, right? They use touchstones and cultural words that we would understand rather than the ones that are more relevant at the time. When I was reading it, I never found that to be annoying or jarring or...
No, I don't or think anything. You would.
Because it's also like, yeah, but like, I want to understand it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to feel like I have to be like, oh, what does that word mean? And go back. It's like, totally. It's a subtle shift in language to kind of make it more accessible. But in my opinion, I think it was the right choice because we're talking about very heavy themes sometimes and very kind of like large brooding, you know, monoliths, empire, racism, all these kind of things. With that's already feels a little bit inaccessible.
Yeah, to put like old English in
there too, I think would be too much. And it's not like they're saying like, wow, that's so unslay of you. You know, it's just like they're just using like slightly more colloquial terms. And I think it's done very well. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I've said everything good about this book I can say.
What a curious book.
Yeah, it's got a really cool cover as well. It's like Babel. And do you get it, Babel? Because the Bible story, Tower of Babel.
Yeah, which
it was the tower where all language is going to be known, and then God struck it down, and then everyone started speaking in different languages. So that's kind of, it's a language, so the Tower of Babel. It's just very well done. It's just very well done.
What a unique book.
That is such a great way to put it. As I was reading it, I was like, it's kind of fantasy because it's got the magic, but it feels more like a cultural critique. But you've still got this magic in there, which is nice. I think having that fantasy veneer too is in a way kind of a nice buffer between the heavier themes, right? Because it can kind of hook you in with that, and if you kind of have that level of your brain instantly recognizes it as fiction because magic is happening, you know, and so you're not
more palatable,
exactly, and so you're not instantly like, wow, like, not that those books aren't good, and like, I've read nonfiction books on those things, they're interesting, but obviously they're a bit of a heavier read, you know. So having that layer, I think, is really good to get more of a general audience to read about these things, right? Yeah. And then it can kind of hit you with the gut punch of the problems of imperialism.
Once
it's gotten you in with the magic, totally, you know? And it's great.
Well, it's like I was watching a climate change documentary last night, and it's just, it's so factual, and it's so doom and gloom.
You're that
just
it's kind of like, hard to watch?
Yeah, it's just like,
I know what you mean. Yeah, it's like, I know, and it's hard too, because sometimes it's like, I know these things, and I just feel like you're telling me again, and now I'm just sad about it all over again.
Great,
don't show me the polar bear melting. I know he's there. I'm trying, man. I'm not the one producing all the fossil fuels, you know?
No, exactly. BP. It's BP.
Someone go get Amazon and tell them to shut it down. Me buying like one extra packet of Oreos isn't gonna like kill a polar bear, for goodness sake.
Well, Josh from Scorpio Books, that's your name this morning. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a wonderful time.
What an exciting book. And to our audience out there, go check out Scorpio Books.
Hell yeah.
Every book, every topic you could imagine
is probably there.
Yeah, yeah.
And if we don't have it, we can probably get it for you.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's handy.
It's good, isn't it? We're nice like that.